Third hour, Darren Donick and Chase here on this Monday afternoon. Hope everybody's having a good start to your week. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, Chase McCabe with you. The Titans just struck a deal with the L.A. Chargers. They have acquired cornerback Desmond Kean. In return, they will give them a sixth-round pick. I think they had three coming into this upcoming draft. Kean will be a free agent after the season. And Mike Vrabel, who normally talks at 12:30 on Mondays, today he will talk at 1:15. So, therefore, that is why we are late to getting to Vince. That broke in the last 10 minutes, so we had to address that.
Sorry,
Vince,
Vinny.
How you doing?
Good, gentlemen. How you doing?
Doing great. Obviously,
other than the cold weather, I could do without that. I don't know about you guys.
It's actually supposed to, every day this week, at least this is the forecast now, it's supposed to get warmer every day. I think by the end of the week, it's going to be in the 70s and through the weekend. So I think it's supposed to be really nice later in the week. And I don't think there's any rain this week. So that's refreshing as well.
Look at you dropping good news on me within a minute. Appreciate
how about that? And for a lot of people, that was good news that we dropped on people because they wanted something to be done by Titans general manager John Robinson to try to help this defense. Do you think this break was the best time for the Vols coming in to a three-game losing streak, just a time to step away, reassess, figure things out for the stretch run, try to get this thing turned around?
Absolutely, Darren. Now, whether that ends up in results, I can't promise you that. But in terms of where it fell on the calendar, I thought, you know, going into the year, we said, well, that's not when you need a bye week before Arkansas. And it turns out they needed the bye week before Arkansas. So, yes, in terms of timing and going back to fundamentals, that's what Pruitt's been talking about ever since the end of the Alabama game, that they needed to go back to some fundamentals, but also get some guys healthy that have been banged up, get some younger players, some reps that they weren't able to get because of all the COVID contact tracing in camp. So I think there's young players, and one of them in particular that Pruitt talked about today is Keyshawn Lawrence in the secondary. He just, you know, he missed too much time and they weren't able to get him the reps. And now I think they're starting to figure out that he could potentially be one of their five best DBs, considering their struggles there. I don't know how much that says, but he's a super talented true freshman. I thought he'd be the biggest impact freshman of this class. And they moved him to the star position, and that's where their teams have constantly picked on them, middle of the field against that star corner and against the linebackers and pass coverage. Teams are killing them in the slot and attacking it, and Tennessee's not had answers. So that's one of the other things they were able to accomplish. Pruitt talked about moving some guys around. Lawrence started at safety, went to corner, actually corner to safety, to corner, and then now on a star. And that's with not having a ton of practice before the season. So it just kind of shows you that they're still feeling like they need to play catch up. So yeah, that extra week was very important for them.
Butch Jones took a lot of heat when he was the head coach at Tennessee, especially by the end of just player development or lack of. And I think it was rightfully so. I think there was just so many cases of players that did not get an ounce better coming in with a lot of hype and a lot of stars next to their name, and they didn't get a bit better. Some even regressed. How would you assess player development as in, you know, players getting better under the tutelage of Jeremy Pruitt and his staff today? What kind of grade would you give them to this point?
Well, how I would assess it is we're not seeing very much of it that's ending up in results on the field through the eye test. And then you follow it up with some numbers, and numbers, you know, some of them, it's not gospel, but Pro Football Focus, they run grade numbers. And Tennessee, pretty much across the board on offense and defense on their roster, just don't have very many players that grade out well. In fact, some starters that grade out below average to almost backup level, including their two 5-star offensive tackles. And you can't say that you've seen development in those two guys from year one to year two. There's always the assumption, well, as a year older, he's going to get better. Not always. And for whatever the reasons are, that the player development on this year's team has been a big issue because it was a big plus for them last year. So then you had that to compare it to also. Just not good enough for this team. And Henry Toto started out the season well, but his Pro Football Focus grades are awful, especially in pass coverage, missed tackles. Just you can't point to a lot of players that you say this player is better than last year. And it wasn't the most talented roster with difference makers to begin with. So it's a problem when your players that you need effort and you need them to be on another level in improvement aren't getting there on their own, even without the elite talent.
What are the odds that Garantano will be the starter the rest of the way? How would you answer that?
I think the odds are low.
You think the odds are low?
That he's the starter the rest of the way? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Because there's going to be more struggles and issues that I anticipate. And then it's just a matter of when it happens and what does Harrison Bailey do with it? Because I do think that that's the direction they'll go. I asked Pruitt, and he was asked a couple of times about splitting up reps with the quarterbacks. And he said that they do it like camp, where they do get into three or four teams and they split it up that way. So it sounds like they've been doing equal reps. And, you know, if you're making a switch at quarterback, you're not giving the first team quarterback equal reps. If you are, you're not truly getting that young player you would turn to ready to play. So that tells me that for the time being, they're sticking with Garantano. But with what's ahead of them on the schedule,
that's where I'm going with this. Yes.
Right.
I mean, yeah, Vince, let's be honest. This game and Vanderbilt are the two, you know, without a doubt, most winnable games. The other three, they could easily lose all three. So, in other words, if they don't beat Arkansas, this thing is going to end pretty poorly, right?
Oh, yeah. And, Darren, honestly, right now, I'm picking Arkansas.
Really?
This game. Yeah. Vanderbilt's so the only one I would give them. And I wouldn't even be super confident about that because we've seen Vandy teams that struggle
rise up. No, Vince.
They got problems.
This is not the game. I understand.
The game's a long way off, but from where they are right now, they have to do a lot of improvement to even get.
They haven't even been competitive yet. Okay, so.
Well, in the first game they were, but they have slipped. In a big way. So we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. But Saturday is the big one.
Okay, but to your point, if they go 1-4, that's a 3-7 season coming off of being one of the talks with college football and that win streak last year, at the end of last year. So yeah, that's a big problem.
Willie,
the line on that is Tennessee's a 1.5-point favorite.
Wow.
They're
a favorite.
It was three. Yeah, it was three.
I'm looking at BetMGM now, and it's 1.5.
Hmm. So, Vince, what did they decide to do anything? You mentioned, you know, guys in the COVID that didn't get a lot of reps early in camp, which you normally would. We speculated last week this would be the time to try to get Harrison Bailey some reps, if not just go ahead and give him the reins to see. What do we know about what they've done or not done there?
Well, they've split reps. So to me, they haven't gotten him ready. Like they're getting him more reps, but it's not to, hey, he's our guy. Pruitt has said he doesn't believe in turning to a more talented player, giving them an opportunity. Like he wants them to earn it. And that's what it looks like, is they want to see him practice more before they hand the reins off to him. So I think what they're waiting for is another in-game meltdown or horrible play, turnovers or whatever. He continued to harp on the turnovers. He said that every game they've won the turnover margin, they've won two, and the games they've lost, they've lost. And he said the SEC is pretty much on that same level. That's what it comes down to for him. So as long as Gary Chandler's not turning the ball over, I think they'll keep him in there. And the question is that when is Harrison Bailey ready? And I don't think he is ready, or else I think they probably would have turned to him by now.
If he does struggle, Garantano, is Bailey the backup? Will he come in?
Well, and that's one of those things, Willie, with us not being able to watch practice, it's hard to say, because I would normally be able to make an eye test judgment on top of what you hear about what they do, and then you marry those two together into a strong opinion. But not seeing them with your own two eyes, it makes it more difficult. So it just depends on what Bailey has done during that time. I think some of it may depend on the situation. Like when they went to Maurer at the end of the Alabama game, I don't think that was, well, Harrison Bailey's not ready, they're not going to him. It was, hey, this is kind of garbage time, and we don't want to throw him to the wolves against Alabama, so we'll put Brian Maurer out there. So some of it, I think, will be situational on who they go to. And then health, too, because Maurer hasn't been healthy a lot. So he's also now starting to get back into the more of the reps to compete with Bailey. So how does he look in comparison to Bailey, to where maybe they still want to give Bailey more time if Maurer's ready? If Maurer's ready, then they may not have that choice if they have to go a different direction. I don't think JT Stroud's in the mix anymore, honestly. But Bailey is your only potential SEC quarterback answer. So to me, that's where they need to focus. It's just a matter of whether they're ready to make him the two just yet, and that may change week to week.
Knowing that you could possibly get to a bowl game even at 3-7, it's crazy to say, but when you start looking at the number of bowls and who would you like to have, 3-7 is probably the equivalent of 6-6, I would say, in most years. Would it be worth taking a step back and saying, okay, what the heck? If we go 3-7, we go 3-7, but we have a chance to really look at Harrison Bailey. We sort of asked that. That was sort of the question of the week, Vince, after we talked to you about it on Monday.
Right.
It would be sort of an NFL style, like Floyd Reese was saying, if he were like the GM in the pros, that's kind of what you would do, right? And of course, you get a higher first round pick. That's the problem in college, is there's no drafting. Right, but has that been discussed at all in your circles?
Jeremy Pruitt is not wired that way. Coaches aren't today, especially the high-paid ones, they are about winning now. They're not about playing for the future. If the season completely goes into the tank, then maybe that's a little bit different. But right now, when they're 2-3, Jeremy Pruitt is not playing for the future, saying, hey, if we go 3-7 now, because that puts him on a serious hot seat.
But does so, it? I mean, you get a contract extension in the middle of the year. Is he really on a hot seat no matter what happens?
Yeah,
I mean,
see,
he's about as secure as you can get.
But the thing, if you bottom out, then I think that's when it can really supersede what your contract status is. If it really bottoms out, if they end up 4-6 or whatever, end up 5-5, they'd be really going in the right direction. But if you end up with 2 or 3 wins, then I think the hot seat is much hotter. And I've said this before, from the fans and the outside and the media, versus what is inside the walls. But if it completely melts down and you lose your signing class and you're not even sniffing 22% of your capacity, which is third in the nation right now, but if you start having people not even take that to go to the Florida game at the end, if it bottoms out that bad, then I do think you're running into more of a hot seat than if you salvage this year and end up somewhere near 500.
But what the fan base they won't want to hear, Vince, is if they don't do anything and they just ride this out for the rest of the year, what card he won't be able to play next year is the quarterback is young and he's not ready. You know what I mean? Like, you won't be able to play that card. If you choose not to give him any experience, you can't say he's too inexperienced next year. Like, he needs more time. You know what I mean? You won't be able to play that card.
I agree with you. I think that's a little bit more of an NFL thing where it's a little bit of a pass. In college football, there are freshmen that play and, you know, there's transfers and all kinds of things. I just don't know that built-in excuse, so to speak, really has the value maybe that it does in the NFL or used to have perhaps in a more patient college football world. I'm not saying he's getting fired after this year or anything. I'm just saying that the pressure really ramps up if you start playing for the future now thinking you're going to get your guy ready because, oh, by the way, they haven't proven that they develop a quarterback yet. So
that's the
catch
22, Vince. In my mind, I would think Harrison Bailey is nothing but a name for me. Like you said, we don't get access to really getting a chance to watch these guys at all. He's a pretty highly touted recruit, as I understand it, who is a true freshman. And it's not completely crazy. I mean, you look around the country, there are true freshmen that jump in and end up playing. So if he is a higher talent than what they have now, then if you're optimistic, then you think your record could end up being the same or even better if he's in there. So what does it say about Bailey that he's not right on the cusp at this point of surpassing what's been a subpar position for them?
I don't know that it speaks to him. It may just be what we talked about, and that's the circumstance of it, where he was an early enrollee. He didn't get spring practice like he normally would, didn't get the off season, didn't get contact traced a couple of times, didn't get the preseason, only got 10 team reps. And so, then they have to do special Sunday scrimmages to try to make up for it a little bit. I don't think it speaks to him just yet. And look, what if Bailey's not the quarterback of the future, but the quarterback they have not signed, but committed to this class, Caden Salter, is? Well, then what if you have to turn to him and then you restart the young quarterback card again? I think you got to make it work one way or the other. And if you have the special right one, when you're ready to put on the field, he's going to make a difference for you or give you a spark. And right now they don't feel like he's ready. And maybe they're wrong in that. And that's part of the quarterback evaluation. It's part of the responsibility for coaches. Not only do you need to get them to play well and develop them, you have to sign them. And that's what Butch Jones, people want to point to, oh, Josh Dobbs saved his backside so many times, he botched him. Well, he got him there. So that's still part of the equation as a coach. And Jeremy Pruitt really hasn't gotten those fix-it guys or enough of them to make a difference if the scheme or the teammates around him aren't working out. You need someone to save the day. And he doesn't have very many of those guys. And even Henry Toto has not graded out his missed tackles, and he has not played to the level that people anticipated. Trey Smith, probably their best offensive lineman, he has not played to the level you expected. So your best guys aren't playing that way. They don't have enough of those difference makers, and that all comes back to recruiting, not just the high-ranked class, but the right guys and guys that can make a difference.
Vince Ferrara is with us from 99.1 The Sports Animal in Knoxville. So, Vince, I've asked you this before, and I want to see if the answer has changed at all, because this was another thing that we discussed last week. If the seat does get hot for Jeremy Pruitt, what is the seat like for Philip Fulmer as the athletic director that hired him and gave him the contract extension? I know he can use the excuse of, well, there was turmoil and he was brought in to save the day and he was the best coach available at the time. He should get another hire. And I don't say that that's necessarily wrong, but how would he be viewed?
I don't think it would be, it hasn't been to this point when people have not hesitated to express their displeasure in Pruitt. Some have grouped them together, but others have not. And so I don't think the scrutiny would be to the level of Pruitt. And part of it is that when Philip Fulmer took over that AD role, it was after they went after a lot and swung and missed on a lot of the experienced head coaches. The Gundys, the Mullins, the Chip Kellys, and on and on. The Holciano thing had played out. So they were, Curry started the process of going after experienced coaches, Leach. And then when that all blew up, then Pruitt was left late in the process, one, two, with a smaller pool of candidates. So he's got, you talk about built-in excuses, he's got that to fall back on. And so I think he would probably get, another go at it in terms of hiring another coach if it got to that. So I think that's where the difference is. But certainly the scrutiny on him would enhance big time because his legacy is connected to the success of Jeremy Pruitt since that was his initial hire. And then, you know, things can certainly get turned up after that if they do have to part ways with Pruitt, especially like you guys have talked about, if there's a lot of money owed to him on the back end to move on.
Well, you brought up earlier, too, that the Vols are third in the nation in average attendance. I'm just curious of what the process has been like, how it's been going in the COVID times of getting the fans in and the compliance with mask wearing and all of that. Are they still serving beer? I know that was a new thing that started last year. Are they still serving alcohol during these games?
You know what? Honestly, Chase, I have not checked into the alcohol aspect of it, to be honest. We're in the press box, and it's so separated from all the fans. I mean, you can see fans wearing masks and things like that and spread out, but I've not inquired about the beer. It's a good question. I'll check into it and then maybe follow up next week, but I don't know the answer to that. I know that they have pretty much been on capacity. They're at 22%, not 25%. And Texas A&M, of course, is tops of the country. I don't know how their numbers are. I don't know what they're counting. It seems like a lot more than that. I know they're loud and all that, but it's 22%, and they've been pretty close to the max on that in each game. But I'll look into the alcohol sales.
Well, I'd be curious to know how that's going. Vince, appreciate the time as always, and thanks for being a little late for us while we had the Breaking Titans news. We'll do it again next week.
No problem. Thanks for having me, guys. Have a great week.
Vince Ferrara, 99.1 The Sports Animal, WNML in Knoxville, joins us every Monday at noon. Again, the Titans have acquired Desmond King from the Chargers, a defensive back. We'll talk more about that and everything else going on. But first, D-Mac, you have a word about Cool Springs MD.
Thank you, Chaser. I do. I've been talking about them for years. You've heard me talking about them for years because I've been going there for years, and I just went there recently because they can help you in a lot of ways. They house so many things under one roof. And Dr. Jeffrey Lodge is the board-certified physician over there. His wife, Daphne, is the registered nurse. And their experienced staff, they want to give you or help you improve your quality of life. And I would hope as we all get older, we all want that. I don't even know if you have to fall into the older category to want to improve your quality of life. You should just always strive for that. And whether it's hormone replacement therapy, maybe you just haven't been feeling the same lately. Maybe you've been feeling off. You haven't felt like yourself, like you know yourself better than anybody, and something's off. Go talk to them about that. They can check your levels. Your levels tend to go down as we get older, and that may be at the root of your problem, and they've got things that can get you going in the right direction. Face and body rejuvenation, weight loss management, we understand, is so critical in 2020. We get it. You've been thrown off. Your schedule's been thrown off. And maybe you stopped working out whenever your local gym was closed, and you just never got back into the routine, and you put on some unwanted pounds. Well, they got programs and people that can get you headed in the right direction ASAP. And these are just some of many things they do under their roof. And if you need to schedule an appointment or a consultation, dial this number, 615-283-7291. That's 283-7291. Or you can always learn everything about their website by going to coolspringsmd.com.